Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning to you. It's Monday, September the 21st. Welcome to this edition of Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, a government order in Kenya to close down all schools angers parents who want tuition fees refunded.
We are demanding from the government to order schools that have received money from parents to be refunded for the period that strike will continue.
And in Uganda, a beauty contest to fight the discrimination encountered by people with HIV/AIDS.
It's just the beginning of fighting to end stigma and discrimination among the young youth living with HIV and AIDS.
And later in the programme, another visit to the Crossroads generation. Stay tuned.
Top story.
With the teachers' strike in Kenya now entering its fourth week, the government has issued a blanket order shutting down all public and private schools. The decision to send more than 14 million students home has angered the Parents Association, which is expected to start legal action against the government later today. The dispute is over a teachers' pay rise, which the government claims it cannot afford. More details now from James Shimanyula in Nairobi.
Owners of private schools in Kenya have vowed to keep their learning centres open, defying the government's order to close them from today, Monday. Also closed down are public schools. But students preparing to sit their final primary and secondary school examination next month and in November remain in classrooms to study on their own. The strike has just entered the fourth week following the government's refusal to comply with Kenya's Supreme Court order that teachers should be given a 60% pay increase. Ernest Wangai, chairman of the Kenya Private Schools Association, is unhappy with the government's blanket school shutdown order.
Very unfortunate as far as private schools are concerned, because the teachers were not involved in the strike and our schools have been going on normally. Therefore, there is no reason why they should be closed.
The chairman of the Kenya Parents Association, Musau Ndunda, wants the government to refund school fees that parents paid.
We are demanding from the government to order schools that have received money from parents to be refunded for the period that strike will continue.
Secretary General of the Kenya Union of Teachers, Wilson Sosioni, asserts that schools have remained closed since teachers staged their strike 4 weeks ago.
How would you close schools which are already closed? This is indeed very ridiculous.
Kenya National Examination Council's chairman, Professor Kibiru Kinyanjui, is optimistic that some of the striking teachers will supervise the year-end exams.
We usually have arrangements with the teachers to come in as supervisors and invigilators. That arrangement is in place.
Principal Secretary in Kenya's Ministry of Education, Belio Kipsang, believes that the exams will proceed smoothly.
The ministry assures candidates, parents and guardians that the national examination calendar remains unchanged. Consequently, all examinations will continue as scheduled by the Kenya National Examination Council.
And Kenya's Interior Minister Joseph Nkaiseri, whose portfolio includes internal security, has issued this timely warning.
If anyone is found interfering with the preparation of our young future generation, preparing for their future, appropriate legal process will take its course.
James Shimanyula reporting there from Nairobi. Kenya's Supreme Court ruled in August that the teachers should be given a pay rise of at least 50%. The striking teachers also have the support of the main opposition party, CORD. So was it a wise move on the part of the government to order the shutdown? Abubakar Jalu put that question to Brian Wanyama, political commentator based in Nairobi.
The decision by the Kenya government to close schools right from nursery, primary, secondary to tertiary institutions is seen as dramatic, drastic, unprecedented, ruthless, and therefore it did not have to take that kind of direction. I think a better way should have been found to go around this situation so that children are kept in school, especially so given that this is a third term, where they expect to sit for external examinations.
So how do you suggest that the Kenyan government should go about the situation in solving this problem?
I think that the government should have honored, should have honored the court's decision, because closing schools indefinitely puts Kenya, in a league of states that cannot manage their public affairs.
Where do you draw the line when it comes to the rule of law? Because the Kenyan government is basically not adhering to a court decision for the second time now.
That is what is baffling people, because the same government is in the office courtesy of the Supreme Court ruling. And how and why they have to defy this court ruling, especially when it's in favor of payment of salaries to teachers, is an issue that is a little bit hard to decipher and to understand.
Do you think it's fair enough when the government argues that the teachers have put their selfish interest in front of the interest of the school pupils and students in Kenya?
One would say that is a line that the government could be taking perhaps to win public sympathy. But the fact that the children in nursery, primary, secondary, international institutions are scattered in all the homes in this country, well, as we are talking now, I'm not sure if any parent is talking very well about the government. So it cannot just be an issue of self-interest of the teachers.
So how do you anticipate this situation playing out in the next couple of days?
Well, we look forward. Everyone looks forward to this stalemate coming to an end as soon as possible, because children are at home and they are losing. In terms of the way people view the government, I think they now view it a little bit differently. I don't think that most people are happy with the government's decision to close down schools. And we've already seen a situation where the opposition seems to be capitalizing on that, and they're already calling for a rally in the center of Nairobi on Wednesday. And I don't think they expect things to be very easy when that rally takes place.
Political commentator Brian Wanyama in Nairobi.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Let's head now to the Democratic Republic of Congo, where several senior officials, including two ministers, have left the coalition government of President Joseph Kabila. Their resignations are linked to opposition worries that Kabila will seek a third term in office, prohibited under the constitution. Last week, representatives of a group of parties whose leaders were kicked out of the coalition said they were forming a new parliamentary opposition platform. Patrice Chitera in Kinshasa has been giving Aboubakar Jalou more details.
These ministers have resigned all over the weekend. The first minister is the civic service minister, Jean-Claude Kibala, and the second one is Bolenge Tenge, the minister in charge of land. They resigned after the president sacked their leaders from the government. That was last Wednesday, and the president had to sack them because they are leaders. The sacked minister, one of them is Olivier Kamtatu, the outgoing minister of planning, and the president's national advisor on security matters, Pierre Lombi.
Can you maybe explain a little bit what actually led to the sacking?
The president sacked them because early last week they wrote a letter asking them they should sit down and discuss the issue of third term and the debate which is going on in the country about that the president is going to try to cling on power without going for election.
So do these sack government ministers, were they opposing to President Kabila's third-term bid?
Yeah, they were really opposing because they wrote the letter to the president, making it clear that they are not for the president's third-term bid. And they wanted the current ruling coalition or majority to sit and discuss about how they should start prepare a successor to the president.
So what is currently happening with this ruling coalition? Do you think there is going to be a breakaway?
It is already a breakaway.
Does that mean that the current incumbent government does no longer have the majority to govern, since it's no longer in a coalition with the opposition?
The breakaway is not affecting the ruling majority or the ruling government directly, but psychologically speaking, it's weakening the president. The information minister, Lambert Mende, who spoke on behalf of the ruling coalition, said their stand has already started weakening some institutions like the parliament and the constitutional court for challenging their decision. But in terms of shaking the majority, at the moment they don't, but it will be only when it comes to voting, passing some key legislation that the ruling government will need overall majority.
Patrice Chitera in Kinshasa. Teenagers with HIV/AIDS gathered in the Ugandan capital Kampala on Friday to witness the crowning of Miss and Mr. Youth Positive. The beauty contest was organised to help fight the stigma attached to HIV, which activists say makes it more difficult to treat and prevent. An estimated 1.5 million people in Uganda are infected with HIV. Our correspondent Alex Jitter witnessed the event and filed this report.
Welcoming number 12, contestant number 12.
It was an environment set out to encourage the youth with HIV live a normal life. Music filled the air as the excited audience cheered their favorite contestants. Y Plus, or Youth Positive, was the code name for the beauty show. Organizers traveled around Uganda to search and encourage young people with HIV to take part in the event. Two winners were chosen after a night of catwalk, design exhibitions, and answering rounds of questions on what they will do if they won. They will go around the country preaching the message of hope, but most importantly, encouraging more youths to test and find out their HIV status. Silas Regan Lubang Kenny is now the Mr. Youth Positive.
I feel so great. I'm really so excited about this. This is the chance for me now to start going out there to outreach the youth. And I know this is not the end. This is just the beginning of fighting to end stigma and discrimination among the young youth living with HIV and AIDS.
Lubang Kenny was joined on the podium by Robina Babirie, who won the Miss White Positive crown.
I will go in those deep, hard-to-reach areas, and I'll organize a group of young people living with HIV and empower them to stand out and be confident and stigma-free and stand together and fight stigma and discrimination.
The beauty pageant was organized by the Uganda National Association of Young People Living with HIV and AIDS. Its executive director, Jackie Alessi, earlier told DW that it is highly possible that new infections are being driven by people who are not aware of their status.
We thought of how do we bring together the young people. The infections are going high because people are afraid to disclose, because they are fearing to be stigmatized. We need to really show people that being HIV positive, you shouldn't feel ashamed, but you should help others remain positive.
It is estimated that over 1.5 million people live with HIV in Uganda, and the country's Ministry of Health believes majority of the new infected are young people.
Also designed by House of Roses Africa.
And that report was compiled by Alex Jitter in Kampala. And now we pay another visit to the Crossroads generation, where they are struggling with the devastating consequences of recent flooding.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome back to Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking.
This is the 23rd episode of the fourth season, Facing New Challenges. A major challenge our friends from Kisimba had to deal with recently was a devastating flood. Lulu's shop, for example, her only source of income, was swept away. Meanwhile, Dan was injured trying to save a man from drowning in the floods. He is now in hospital. Just to remind you, Dan is the father of Marcy's daughter, Linda. He didn't take responsibility when Marcy got pregnant, so she cut contact with him. Since then, he's tried to see his daughter, but Marcy doesn't want him to.
Hey, Linda. Don't be shy.
What?
Do you know who I am? I'm Dan.
Hey, Dan, what are you doing?
What did I do? I was just introducing myself.
You have no right, Dan.
But he's still hoping Marcy will let him see Linda one day. He recently started dating Mercy's friend, Tina. And when Tina told Mercy about it, she wasn't at all amused.
I hope you won't take this badly, but Dan and I are, you know...
Dan?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Tina. I have to go.
Mercy and Tina work together at the university radio station, so they can't ignore each other forever. Will they reconcile? Let's find out in today's episode, A New Dawn. We start off in Mercy's and Tina's office.
Mercy, Tina, great show today. You two are doing a fantastic job.
Thanks, boss.
Thanks, boss.
For the next few shows, I want the two of you to focus on the effects the floods have had on the local population.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You can go out into the city, maybe even to the villages, find out how the people have been affected and how they are dealing with it. You can focus on the women and children, since your show deals with women's issues.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but would it be okay to use our own relatives to illustrate a story? I mean, would that be professional?
What do you mean?
Well, my mother had a shop that was washed away and it wasn't insured. I was wondering if perhaps I could interview her as an example of why it's important for people to insure their businesses.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't, as long as you double-check that whatever you broadcast is accurate and truthful. All right, so we are in agreement. You'd better go and start on it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Tina, wait. Listen, I'm sorry for how I behaved when you told me about you and Dan. We haven't spoken to each other since. I really miss you.
Mercy, you've been my friend for quite a while now. I told you about Dan because I respect you and I didn't want you to find out from someone else. I mean, you're not in a relationship with Dan anymore, or are you?
I guess I owe you an apology. I acted badly. It's just, it came as a shock. I didn't expect you and Dan to, you know.
But why was it such a big deal?
Look, Tina, I was selfish and confused, okay? I have no feelings for Dan anymore, and I give the two of you my blessings. Really.
Mercy, I don't know. The way you acted, it was pretty immature.
I know. And I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Please? Come on, please!
Okay.
Oh, thank God for that. Come here, Tina, let me give you a hug. I've missed you so much.
Okay, enough already. I really have to rush. Dan will be waiting for me at the hospital.
Dan's in hospital? What do you mean? Is he sick?
Oh, didn't you know? Dan had an accident trying to save someone from the flood.
What?
Kadu, Banja, have you washed your hands?
Yes, Mom.
With soap?
Yes, Mom.
Okay, let's have breakfast.
Hey, give me back my spoon, Banda.
Come and get it.
Come on, give it to me. It's not fair. You've got your own.
Kadu, Banda, will you two stop fighting, sit down and eat? You'll be late for your first day at the new school.
Mom, why did we have to move? I like the school you are at.
Me too.
I've told you, I don't have money to pay for your old school anymore. Not since my shop was washed away. Your sister Mercy has spoken to Anita and her school has kindly agreed to take you on the integrative program.
But aren't we paying fees at the new school?
No, you're going there on a scholarship.
Ah! Now look what you've done, Banda. You've spilled my food.
Will you two stop it? What are you doing, Kadu? Are you scraping food off the floor?
But I'm hungry, Mom.
Didn't you listen to anything the doctor said? Huh? You are lucky you didn't catch typhoid like so many other kids around here. What did the doctor tell you?
That we shouldn't eat dirty food.
Shut up, Banda. It's all your fault.
But I...
If I were you, Banda, I would shut up now.
but Mom...
Shh, not another word from you two.
Hey, Dan. You have visitors.
Visitors? I wonder who they can be...
Mercy Msoto and her daughter Linda. You know them?
Mercy? What are they? Please, let them in, Dr. Roberts.
Okay, I will.
Hello, Dan.
Mercy. And, oh my, who's this big girl here? Let me guess. You're Linda, aren't you? Look how big you've grown.
Linda, this is Mommy's friend, Dan. Say hi to him. Come on.
Don't worry. She'll say hi in her own good time. Won't you, Linda? I didn't expect to see you here.
Tina told me about your accident. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I feel fine already. I don't know why they're still keeping me here.
Well, we just wanted to see how you were doing.
Thank you.
I guess we'll head back now. Oh, we brought you some fruit. I hope you get well soon. Come on, Linda, let's go.
Mercy, wait. Really, thank you very much for coming. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I wish things were different between us.
Dan, I just lost my mother-in-law.
Sorry, I heard about that, yeah.
Nikki is so grief-stricken.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
It got me thinking. I mean, life is short. I don't want my daughter to blame me one day for not allowing her to know her father. From now on, you're welcome to spend time with her. Whenever you want.
Oh, Mercy.
Homie, speak on the radio. Mercy, are you out of your mind?
Mom, it's not that hard. You just speak like we're speaking now.
What would I say?
You just answer the questions we ask you truthfully. That's all.
Oh, Mercy, my daughter, this time you're asking too much. I can't speak on the radio. People would laugh at me.
Mom, come on. I'm relying on you. Don't let me down.
But...
Please.
Okay, but you owe me big time.
Thank you. Mwah! I love you, Mom.
Love won't save me from the embarrassment of being laughed at.
Oh, Nikki, hi. Mom, I have to go. I'll call you later.
Typical. Such an ungrateful child. Now you've got what you want, you just cut me off.
It's not that. It's that Nikki has come home and I have to talk to him. You know the funeral arrangements for his mother and all.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Bye.
And it's bye from us as well for now. But Crossroads Generation will continue next time. You don't want to miss Lulu's radio interview, do you? Just to remind you, you can always join us on Facebook and you'll find all the previous episodes at dw.de/LBE. Enjoy!
And next time is next Monday here on Africa Link. Before we leave you, a reminder of our main stories. The Kenyan government has issued a blanket order shutting down public and private schools starting today. In the DRC, several senior officials, including ministers, have resigned from the coalition government of President Joseph Kabila. And we've also been hearing about a beauty contest in Uganda, organized to fight the stigma attached to HIV. AIDS. We welcome your comments on this program. Please send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160 957 59510. Thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.